gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100-yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast. I'm your co-host, Eric. And I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What a run.
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, we're in the middle of hurricane right now.
Yeah.
Hurricane Milton is coming our way. That's why we're recording this on Tuesday instead of Wednesday, because Wednesday is supposed to be wet. Wet for us and windy. I don't know what that means. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about the NFL news. We're going to have our week number five. Is that five? Yeah, week number five recap. We're going to do our predictions, our team's predictions. We're going to do our power rankings. And we're going to finish up with what we think of the season so far. I mean, this is basically one quarter done, right?
Yep, yep.
So let's just dive right into it. Let's start with the news of the day. Robert Saleh fired.
Yeah, big news.
Big, big news. But is it really that big news? 2-3?
It's big because, you know, he was in the hot seat, right? So that's not a surprise. It's just that I'm surprised they did it in season. Like, you know, not a lot of coaches get fired in season. It does happen, obviously. But this early, you win this week, I think you're in first place, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I don't understand why you would do it, but my understanding is that they weren't happy with Saleh to begin with. You can tell there was a lot of friction with him and Rodgers, which, shocker, who doesn't have friction with him other than the owner? The two of them see eye to eye. But I don't know what to say. It's a dysfunctional team. I'm not making any excuses for Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
You know, he had 3 years to, you know, turn things around. And he had last year, I kind of give him a little bit of a pass. Rodgers was hurt. But he wasn't the right fit. And this might be a blessing in disguise for him, honestly.
For Robert Saleh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. You can't be on a team that's dysfunctional, constantly looking over your back. Owners going to Rodgers, not even coming to you. There's no like chain of command whatsoever. Forget losing the locker room. I think they lost, you know, his voice was gone. You know, he didn't have his voice. The owner didn't care. So, you know, I think he'll probably end up in San Francisco or someplace. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine because, I mean, he was on the contract, so they're going to owe him all that money. The only thing is that, you know, it's New York City and the reporters are having a field day because things are leaking out, talking about he was let go when security was there.
Yeah.
He wanted offensive change and all of a sudden he's fired. This, you know, Woody Johnson is a stout Jewish guy. Robert Saleh is a Muslim. I mean, speculation is a broad here. Like, yeah. What's happening? Like, and now I'm like seeing all this stuff about, oh, this is Bill Belichick's chance.
No. He wouldn't want to deal with that at all.
Even if Woody Johnson, even if he gets a call from Trump, because they apparently are all friends, right? And I know when Trump was president, he made Woody Johnson ambassador. Rich people doing rich things, right? So I can see him picking up the phone and be like, oh, I know Bill Belichick. I can have him work for you. And no,
he's not going to do that.
He's not going to do that. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's not a job for him. As much as he loves Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't want to coach him.
No.
Who wants to coach Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
So. This dude knows it all. No coach can tell him what to do.
Yeah.
So he's gone. This is so fresh, like it literally happened a couple hours ago. We don't even know who's the interim coach is, who's taking over. More to come, I guess. More to come.
Yeah.
The other set of news, Drake May's finally starting.
Ooh, I got my wish. I know you're not happy, but I'm more excited. I'm not even a Patriots fan.
I want to be excited, but this team is so terrible. Five different starting lineup in the offensive line each game. I honestly fear for this guy's life.
And
I
don't even know him. You're exaggerating.
I don't even know him. And he's going to be running. Oh, listen. Yeah. He's going to make some highlight plays. Right. I do see that. He's going to make, but it's not going to be like winning plays. He's not going to be like a savior. He's not going to put a cape and be like, I'm here.
You're missing the point, though. You're not putting him in to win. You're putting him in to develop, right? He needs to be able to read the defense, take some hits, right? Adjust
take
the line.
Some hits?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to learn how to take hits, right? You're going to get sacked at some point. So you, that's.
Look at Joe Burrow. Burrow is supposed to be like this Superman, but what happened? He got hit. Every year he's got some kind of injury.
Well, you put bubble wrap on the quarterbacks every offseason and they don't know how to take hits. You gotta be in that position where you're throwing and take hits, right? The point I'm making is he's going to have an opportunity to develop finally. He's not going to do that sitting on the bench. So
I disagree. I don't think he's going to be able to develop because the team is not there. See, if I take Caleb Williams' situation, he has a team. He has a wide receiver. He has a good running back. You know,
yeah, but you were clowning him when they were like 0-2 or 1-3 or whatever the case might be, right?
They're not in third place still. Yeah. They're not world beaters.
His line has been terrible, right? He's taken a number of hits. And guess what? Look what he did this past week, right? And I know it's Carolina, whatever, but he threw for, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns or whatever. You want to see improvement, right? You want to see development. You want to, at the end of the season, this is the most important thing, that's what I mentioned last week. At the end of the season, when you're sitting there, you know, with the number 1, 2, 3 draft pick, the guy that you drafted, is he the one to lead you in 2025 and beyond? Because you need to make a decision. Is somebody else in that draft, or can you trade those picks for other, you know, options to fix your line, to fix your receivers if you're not happy, to find some more weapons for him, whatever the case may be. But you, in order to know that, you have to play him. And, you know, I honestly think he'll be okay. I think there's going to be bumps in the road, just like Caleb Williams is going through it now. But I think he'll be fine. I think we get fooled too, right? We see people like Jaden Daniels, like, go in and take off and expect that, or Stroud.
But Jaden Daniels is almost 25 years old.
Yeah,
this guy's barely just turned 21.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter the age.
You can't learn from sitting on the bench. There's only so much you can learn until you're actually in the game.
Jaden Daniels has 60 starts. This dude has 18.
Okay, all right.
Listen. Yes, he has talent. That is unquestionable. He has talent.
Don't you want to know by the end of the season if he's your guy or not?
I want them to build a team and whatever
then
quarterback.
Find out if you got the quarterback.
Hey, you can listen. America loves second chance quarterbacks, and we know that. Look at Sam Darnold. Look at Baker Mayfield. You can find a good quarterback, but making a team—that's the difficult part.
Yeah, no.
And I don't know if you know the Patriots have a good team to say, okay, Drake May, show me what you got. Because he won't be able to do that. That's what my concern is like.
I think he's going to surprise you a little bit throughout the season. There's a reason why he was like the third pick, right? He's a good quarterback. Yeah, he's a lot to learn. He hasn't had a lot of experience or whatever with that many starts, like you said. Obviously, you know, there's going to be some growing pains, but I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by the end of the season, how he plays and how much he's grown and how he's developed and the things that he's learned and been able to do. And that, you know, you can take that into next season happy, knowing that you got your guy, right? So, or happy knowing that he ain't it, right? So, and knowing like what your path is for next season.
Listen, I'm not a big Sanders guy, but if Drake May turns out to be a flop, just draft an offensive line. Just draft a left tackle. Some LSU has big guys. Alabama has big guys. Just draft one of them.
Mm-hmm. And then roll out Brissett again next season.
And you find somebody else. Find another number one pick. you don't have to draft a number one pick every time. That's just, yes, look at what's happening. We don't know what they're going to turn out to be until they actually play.
Yeah.
So well, it's listen, just
speaking as someone who's been through it, you know, when last year when it was Trubisky and we've seen Trubisky forever, right? It feels like we know what he is. When Kenny Pickett finally got his chance, it was, to me, it brought some excitement to the city. I think, you know, and Pittsburgh's a different situation, but they were holding him back a little bit, trying to make sure he doesn't make mistakes and stuff like that. That kind of slowed his development. But, you know, going into this year before Wilson became available, before they traded for Fields and stuff, I was pretty excited about, you know, what I was going to see from Kenny Pickett in his second year without, you know, Matt Canada holding him back. But, you know, I think you just got to, you know, trust the process, let him develop, and, you know, see what you got, see what you can build on for next year.
Because I'm fine with growing pains. I just don't want to see this dude get hurt, whether it's a serious injury or whether it's anything, because that will hinder his development.
But I think you're also underestimating his athletic ability. The dude can play. He can run. He's very athletic, so he can protect himself. I'm not worried. I'm more worried about Jalen Daniels getting hurt than I am about Drake May.
Well, he's a totally different case altogether. But yeah, so we'll see on Sunday what happens, because they should have made the change against Miami. Oh, why wait till Sunday? Texas, where they have a pretty good defense. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense. I'm going to Gerard Mayo on that one. He made a mistake. The other set of news is the car injury a serious one, or is it just like, just beat up a little bit?
It's some sort of abdominal issue, I believe, right? And it sounds like he's going to be out multiple weeks. This is a team that started off looking hot on offense, and all of a sudden, you know, here they are, you know, starting to lose some games. So they're 2-3. They're only one game out of the division, right? You don't want to, and I think they're putting in Rattler this week. You don't want to lose ground and fall too far behind. So it's, I think they have a decent team and a decent shot, but Carney needs to be healthy. He's your leader, and I don't think they can afford him to be out multiple weeks. So I think that's big news.
That is big news. The other set of news, and at the end of the podcast, we'll talk about our biggest and biggest surprises and biggest disappointments. But let's get into week 5 preview, because right now you have a 7-6 point lead on me because you won last week. So it's 44-38. Are there any games from last week that you were like, wow? I mean, other than that Baltimore-Cincinnati game.
That was a great game, right? I was worried. I think I chose Baltimore. Yeah, I chose Baltimore to win. I knew Cincinnati's offense was really good. I'm surprised that Baltimore's defense played so poorly after what they did to the Bills the week before. That's surprising a little bit. I think that goes to show you how good Joe Burrow is, though, in that Cincinnati offense. But, you know, listen, I've been impressed by Baltimore the entire year, even in their losses. I think, you know, they're going to end up winning the division. I see them head over heels, you know, above obviously Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. So I think they win the division. I think that's the last two games for them. The last two wins is proven that they're one of the top teams in the AFC.
Yeah, I was kind of concerned that the defense, I think their offense is going to be just fine. Their defense kind of needs a little bit of tweaking, because that was a lot of points to Joe Burrow's. I think it was, what, 34, 34, 31, 28 or something like that.
Yeah, so it was 41-38.
Yeah, that was a lot of points. Yeah. A lot of points. That's kind of worrying, but...
Yeah, it is.
You know...
And, I mean, the reason why the Bengals are, you know, where they're at right now is their defense is terrible. So that's not surprising. So, but for Baltimore, you got to, it's a little bit surprising they gave up so many points. There's some other games here. I'm looking back now. So Atlanta closing it out 36-30. That was a great game against Tampa. You had Tampa winning that game. Tampa scared me, you know, for sure at the end. Atlanta, though, I'm telling you, watch out. You know, they are getting into a groove. They can stay healthy. If their defense, you know, can play a little. I didn't think their defense played well at all against Tampa. If they can step up a little bit, you know, Atlanta can win that division. And then obviously the big upset with the Giants beating Seattle. That's a game that kind of stands out.
Yeah, I would say right now there's three teams that I like the offense a lot. That's Washington, Tampa Bay, and Cincinnati. I like their offense. Defense is still, there's still a lot of points out there. There's not a defense that I love right now. And I want to say I love the Steelers defense, but two games in a row they lost. So... they're still not giving up the big points. And that's, to me, that's like a plus. But I still like the Steelers defense. I just want to see them do better. And we'll get to that. Let's before we do the Steelers, let's talk about New England. Because we both chose for New England to win. And they didn't. Was this the game that pretty much... spur the change quarterback.
I think so. That was a winnable game, wouldn't you say? Right?
I mean, that last pass to Polk, that was a game-winning touchdown. It got called back. And people were like, oh, you know, this, that is BS. But how can that happen? But you can't, this team is not meant for a one play and win it all type of thing.
Like, or playing from behind or anything.
So I'm not surprised. And
Brissett was terrible.
Brissett still hasn't gone over 200 yards passing in five games. He has four interceptions. I think it's five interceptions now. I know the change was coming. I just didn't know. I didn't think that it was going to be so fast that it was going to take place. Steelers against Dallas. We both picked the Steelers to win. I texted you, I think, in the middle of the first quarter, the end of the first quarter, and I was like, what's going on with this game? Because the defense, it wasn't dominating how I thought they would, and Fields was not really playing that well, and I was like, this is not feeling right.
Yeah, slow start. That's been a problem for like 3-4 years now. And again, you know, it is our philosophy. It's the Tomlin way, right? He's so conservative. You know, he's forcing the play callers just to protect the football and not make big plays and, you know, minimize risks. And that's causing us to have to play from behind constantly. And that's what, you know, I think happened this game. We just got off to another slow start defensively. I think we started off okay. They got good field position right away because we allow them to return the kick and they hit a couple passes. And then they kicked field goal, I think, to start the game. But from there, the defense went down. We lost Herbig. He was on his way having a really good game. You know, two half a sacks along with TJ. He goes down, the backup goes down. So now you're playing with guys that were on your practice squad. So we lost all ability to pass rush. And then we're giving up big plays in the secondary too. That, you know, the miscommunication in the secondary, that's been a trend all season long.
Well, that's what I was concerned about, because 14 points in the fourth quarter, you guys had the lead. It was 17-6 coming into the fourth quarter. So it's like you had the lead in the fourth quarter. It was time for the defense to just step up, shut them down, and I don't know, Dallas had other plans. And this game started late. I ended up watching this game second half the next morning because I was like, all right, this is way past my bedtime. But when I went to sleep, I was like, this is a Tomlin game, 7-6. I don't know if they can keep this kind of, keep the Cowboys in bay this long.
Listen, we got to give Dak credit too. I thought he played really well. He made some clutch throws. They didn't have any.
No running game.
Really no running game. I think they continued to, stuck with the running game, even though it wasn't really that successful. But Dak was, he played awesome. Our secondary, again, having issues with communication and stuff, it's disappointing. But at the end of the day, you have to have an offense, right? So how many yards did we end up with in this game? I think they outlaid like double the amount, of yards that we had or something crazy like that. So, at the end of the day, you got to be able to move the ball. You got to be able to put up points. And
the penalties killed the
penalties. Listen, you can't have those type of games and expect to win, right? So, yeah, Dallas had 445 total yards. We had 226, right? You're not going to win games with 226 total yards, So the offense was not good. And I don't think necessarily it was anything that Arthur Smith did. I just think it was a lack of execution all across the board. Hayward dropping passes, Pickens dropping passes, penalties, like you said, just stupid things.
Yeah, this. I feel like this team is so close to being elite, but then it shoots itself in the foot, right? So it's like, what's going on? What's going on with this Pittsburgh team? And I think Baltimore is now ahead, right? Because they have more division wins. Oh, man, this is not good for my team futures. But the good thing is that...
What was your future? You had them win the division?
The division in 9 games.
I think they'll get to that. Not the division, but I think they'll get to 9 games.
Well, this is not the way to do it. 2 in a row is not the way to do it. But you know what? This week you have Las Vegas, so you should be okay.
Well, wait till we get to our picks. We're going to talk about that.
Okay, well then let's do our predictions for week number 6.
Yeah, by the way, we both lost our upset special.
I don't even want to talk about the upset special because when I was watching that game, I was so disappointed in the New Orleans.
Yeah.
Especially on Carr because...
I didn't watch any of the game, so I don't know what happened.
They did the thing where Kansas City scored first, and I think it was a deep ball and that Kansas City scored. And Carr just came back. Instead of running the offense, he came back and try to outgun Mahomes. And I was like, you're just walking right into, the halftime score was, it could have been a lot more points for Kansas City. It's just that they stalled a couple of times, but they got a field goal. And I was just like, Kansas City's basically got New Orleans where they wanted to. And I was just so mad because I feel like Kansas City is getting away with subpar performances.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how they do that. There was 3 penalties in a row for the offensive line. And I was like, how is this team still performing this well with all these penalties? I couldn't understand. But needless to say, we lost that upset special.
Yeah.
Week number 3, starting off on Thursday. We have on the docket, we have San Francisco at Seahawks. San Francisco favored by 3.5. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you go with?
I went with Seattle. I think Seattle is a good team. I know, there's... San Francisco is really good. Their defense is great. I just have a feeling they're going to rebound from last week. They're embarrassed, with losing to the Giants, and they're going to find a way to win this one.
Well, the Seahawks lost to the Giants. The 49ers lost to Arizona. I was giving Brock Purdy his flowers, and then out of a sudden, he just had a bad game. Now, no McCaffrey, no Debo, right?
I don't know about Debo.
I think he had Kittles was there, but then they're just missing a lot of people. It was going to be my upset special. Then I changed my mind. But I went with Seattle. I think Seattle at home will take care of business. I'm a big Mike McDonald fan. I think he's going to fix whatever's broken right now. We have another London game. This is a 9:30 start.
Ridiculous.
Hopefully we have electricity by then. This is the Jaguars. Bears at home, but it's not really at home. Bears are favored by 2.5. It's 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you pick?
Yeah, again, I don't like any of these London games. It's you don't know what you're going to get, but I'm going with Chicago. I think they'll not bounce back, but I think they'll build on what they had last week. I know it was Carolina that they beat. Nothing to be that excited about, but I had Chicago in the playoffs. I'm sticking with that. I think last week is the start of like getting them into the playoffs. So I'm going with Chicago.
Yeah, I was going to go with Jacksonville, but they have to show me more. I know they just won last week, but this is technically a home game for them because I feel like they always have a London game. So they should give Chicago a little bit of competition, but Chicago's going to win it. The next game is Arizona at Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 5. The over-under is 49.5. Ron, who'd you pick?
I pick Green Bay, but listen, I'll be a little surprised if they win by 5. Arizona can score for sure, so give me Green Bay. I'm not like... it wouldn't shock me if Arizona went in there and win, but I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Yeah, I also pick Green Bay. Five it seems like a lot. I wouldn't take that spread, but I mean Green Bay, they won last game, but it was against the Rams, and they should score more points against Arizona. So I'm gonna go with Green Bay. The next game, Colts at Titans. Colts are favored by 1. 42.5 is the over and under. Who'd you go with?
Yeah, I'm going with Tennessee. I still don't trust the Colts. I know they put up like 34 points last week, but it was against the Jags. So taking that with a grain of salt. Give me Tennessee to win this one. I don't care who the quarterback is. They'll find a way to win.
Listen, I don't care if Bill Callahan has his dad on the team, his mom on the team, has cousins, I don't know. I just don't like this Titans team the way it's built. Even with, Mason Rudolph at the QB. Although, Indy seems like they're getting it together with Flacco. I don't know. Is Richardson coming back for this game?
Yeah, Richardson should be back. Did he play last week at all? Was that Flacco?
No, I don't think he played last week. I think it was all Flacco. So I don't know if they score that many points with Flacco. I don't know if Richardson is ready, but it's the coach's decision, right? The next game, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. We just talked about Carr not being there. Tampa Bay is favored by 2.5, which I found kind of low, knowing that Carr might not be there for sure. 42.5 is the over and under. Ron, would you go with?
Yeah, I'm going with Tampa. It is a divisional game, which can be concerning, but give me Tampa. I just don't want them to have a letdown here. But I think they should pull it off.
I mean, they lost against Atlanta, and it was obvious that it wasn't the offense the reason they lost. It was bad tackling by the Tampa Bay. I think I think at one time, Robinson just ran over linebacker, and I was just like, wow, they're going to replay that in the locker room for sure. I went with Tampa. I think they're going to fix up that defense. Todd Bowles should fix it up. Next game, Browns at Eagles. Eagles are favored by 9.
That's crazy. The over-under
is 43.5. Ron, who'd you pick?
I got Philly. And on top of that, I have Watson being benched like for the rest of the season after this game. Or it might be in the game.
I mean, Philadelphia is coming off a bye. They're rested. Nick Sirianni, if he loses his game, he's probably the next one to be fired. Because this team is loaded.
Yeah, well.
I mean, this team is loaded and that window is closing. That window's closing fast. I know they got a bunch of Georgia players on the defense, but I don't know about that window. Anyways, I picked Philly to win, but if Cleveland Brown just... If the Browns go downhill again and Watson has a subpar performance...
He's out. He's got to be. Like, even the national media is saying, hey, he needs to be benched.
I don't know who's... What's the GM and coach doing?
They gambled and they missed. I don't know what else to say.
The other game, the Chargers at Broncos. Chargers are favored by 3. The over number is 35.5. Ron, who'd you pick?
I went, and you missed one game above that, but we'll do this one first. Special. Okay, gotcha. I'm going to go with Denver. I think Bo Nix and what's the coach there?
Payne.
Yeah. They're figuring it out together. And I have a feeling they're going to pull this one off. They're at home. That's an advantage, especially for teams traveling and having to play that altitude. Their offense seems to be coming around, their run game too, especially. So give me Denver.
I like the Chargers here. Again, they're coming off a bye week. Herbert should be better, at least healed somehow, some way, a little bit. I think Dobbins should be better. I just like the fact this is going to be a low scoring game. So that 35.5 sounds about right, because Chargers defense, that's how Harbaugh likes to play, and Denver defense is good. So this is going to be a defensive battle, but I like the Chargers on this one. The next game, Lions at Cowboys. Lions are favored by 3.5. 52.5 is the over and under. Ron, would you pick?
I got Detroit winning this one. I do think Dak has played well most of the seasons, but Dallas still has flaws. No running game whatsoever. All rests on Dak's shoulders. I think Detroit's going to win this one.
I also got Detroit winning this game. Listen, Dak is playing like MVP caliber right now, but he has no running game, and I don't really trust anybody named Rico. I just don't. Unless he's like singing or something. I don't know. But Rico, you're going to trust your running back to be Rico? So yeah, I went with Detroit. And 52.5, yes, that sounds about right. I would take the over. The next game, Falcons at Panthers. Atlanta's favored by 6 points. 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you go with?
Atlanta, give me Atlanta. I know it's a divisional game as well, but Atlanta is going to hand, you know, they should easily win this one.
Yeah, Atlanta should. I mean, this is pick on Carolina Panthers, right? If you are second or first or third in a division, you're gonna circle this game as a victory. At least I think you should. Bengals. At the G-Man.
Yeah, that one's this my upset special.
Sunday night. Oh, so? Okay. Yeah. So we'll skip it. Monday night, the Bills at the Jets. The Bills are favored by 2.5. I think it should be more, especially after today's news. But 41.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'm going with Buffalo. Yeah, I think the Jets are just a disaster. I don't trust them at all. So give me Buffalo to win this one. And in embarrassing form, too.
Buffalo has lost two games in a row. And the airplane goal. Josh Allen had a concussion on Sunday.
Yeah, he got that. That needs to be like front page news, by the way.
And nobody said a thing about it.
Yeah,
there was like, I don't know, maybe the announcer did, but when I saw that replay, I was like, he didn't go in the blue tent.
He did, and he was right back out when they got the ball, like right back within like a couple minutes because they had a chance to win.
I don't know if there's no way
you can get your head hit that hard, right, and go right back in the game. No way.
I mean, I like Buffalo to win this game, and I was thinking about the Jets before all this stuff happened because I was like, there's no way that Josh Allen is okay for this game. But since all that happened today, I'm going to pick Buffalo, but I don't like what I saw from Josh Allen when he hit the deck.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our teams, Ron. Houston at New England. Houston is favored by 7 points. 37.5 is the over and under. This is going to be Drake May's final appearance. Not final appearance, but actually debut. I predicted a 10-21 victory by Houston. What say you, Ron?
Listen, I got Houston winning this one, but I think it's going to be a close game. I got them winning 24-20. I think Drake May is going to surprise people a little bit.
So you predict that Drake May has a touchdown here?
Yeah.
20 can be all defense.
No. I think they're going to score an offensive touchdown for sure. And it might be Drake May using his legs. It might be, you know, using the receivers because for whatever reason, Brissett was allergic to throwing to the receivers. I think he's going to have a decent game. And, you know, and Houston hasn't really like taken off on any of these teams, right? It seems like every game has been close for the most part. So
I think that they're missing Mixon and not having a running game kind of affected them, but they still are a good team.
Yeah, this game is in New England. The fans are going to be excited. We talked about that, right? So it's going to be loud. I don't know what the weather looks like, but listen, I'm not going to say this is going to be an upset, right? It is a 7-point spread. It is his first game. I just think he's going to have a decent debut.
I think he's going to have a couple of highlights, but they're not winning this game. I think I give him a 10 points because I think Stevenson does score. I don't know if Drake May scores.
I think Polk is going to, you know, or one of these receivers, Douglas, they're going to find the way in the end zone. I think he's going to make a play or two.
Because I don't know what the offense is going to look like with Drake May. I don't know. Do they unleash him and let him throw deep, or is it going to be the tight ends all over again? I don't know what Van Pelt is going to do, so I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about this game. The next game, Pittsburgh at Vegas, Vegas Raiders. The spread is 3 points for Pittsburgh, -3. 36.5 is the over and under. I say 17-10, Pittsburgh. What say you, Ron?
Listen, Vegas is going to be a home game for Pittsburgh, right? There's going to be a lot of Pittsburgh fans out there. Having said that, there's like way too many injuries, especially on defense for Pittsburgh. Way too many question marks about our offense. I see an upset here, and the Steelers losing 26-17 is the score I wrote down. I think this could be the pivot point where.
So Wilson is not coming in.
Wilson is going to take over the following week. I think if Fields doesn't have not only wins but has a good game, have a good game doing it, they're going to go to Wilson the very next following week.
So you think Wilson is ready right now?
He's physically ready. So Tomlin had his press conference today, actually said they're anticipating him being a full participant all week, but they want to see how tomorrow's practice goes. Once he's a full participant, the question is going to be, is there soreness or any lingering issues after he practices? And if there's not, then they most likely will make him, instead of like making him the emergency, you know, QB3, they'll activate him and make him the second quarterback. So I think he's about ready. It's just about getting some practice time. And again, if Fields doesn't perform this week, which I don't think he will, not all his fault. I just think, you know, between, you know, Pickens and all the drama that we had this week with him and just not having a lot of weapons, not being able to run the ball, I think they're going to make the switch next week. That's just my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I wish they already made the decision with Fields, because I feel like unless you're consistently scoring, not just the second half, but both halves, like a touchdown, this team is going to be hindered by it.
Yeah, so let me say the other thing I'll say about Fields, and I think he's played okay, but if I was to compare him to last year and Kenny Pickett and the team last year, right? 3-2 last year at this point, 3-2 this year. Kenny Pickett put up similar numbers to Fields. The offense is scoring about like half a point more than we did last season with Kenny Pickett. Nothing has changed, in other words. And my point is, part of it, I think there's... I personally think Pickett and Fields aren't that far apart in terms of talent. And then part of it is that's just the system Tomlin wants to run, and it's holding them back a little bit. But if I was to compare this team to last year, I don't see a big difference whatsoever. And that's a problem, you know. And they need
offensively, you don't see a big difference.
No, not at all. That's a huge problem. You brought in a new coordinator, and I don't think it's him at all. I think he's done a great job. You know, you got two new quarterbacks. At some point, someone needs to point the finger to Tomlin, right? But it probably won't happen. But they'll look for a spark. They'll make a change. And, you know, we'll see how Wilson does, I think, next week.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Who's your upset special? You kind of bleed into it.
Yeah. So Cincinnati at Giants. This is in New York. I do like how the Giants offense is playing. They get their receiver Neighbors back this week, so he's going to be cleared for concussion, and he'll be active. They'll put up points because Cincinnati can't play defense to save their life. I think they pull off an upset here, 30-27, and it might even be a higher scoring game than what I have there.
Yeah, the Cincinnati defense is up there bad. It's just bad. My upset special, Washington at Baltimore.
Ooh.
31-28. I'm leading the flag in the high train for Jaden Daniels. I know we're going to talk about the offensive rookie of the year, but even if they lose this game, but they lose it with points scored by Daniels, then you have to be talking about like, hey, this guy is actually has it all figured out. Because I'm trying to compare him to like what CJ Stroud was doing last year. I don't know. CJ Stroud had a lot of help. He had a good defense. He had a good running back.
But he did some amazing things too.
He did some amazing things, but I feel like Daniel's doing it by himself. I'm just really, really impressed. I just hope that this dude doesn't get hurt.
It's 1 o'clock game. They should. I mean, that should be a primetime game.
That should be a primetime game. Yep. You're going to have a lot of viewers from Baltimore. It's a home game. Yeah, so I pick Washington to win it because, I mean, 4-1, I think they're leading the division, right? So I am on the hype train for Daniels. Who, Ron, is your power ranking?
All right, so not a lot of change, I think, at the top for my power rankings. I still got, let's see, Kansas City at number one. They were there last week. I got Minnesota at number two. They moved up from three last week. I got Detroit falling from two to three. I got Houston at a number four, same place they were last week. I got Baltimore at number five, also same place they were at last week. I got Atlanta moving up from seven to six. I got Buffalo dropping to seven, with their issues. So, and then rounding it out, I finally got Washington in my top 10. They weren't there all season. I'm putting them in there now at number eight. And I got Green Bay at number nine and then Seattle at number 10. And I left a note in there. I don't see it anymore. But my note is watch out for Chicago.
Oh, now you're back on that Chicago train?
I partially left.
You partially left?
I am back.
Okay. I was thinking about like having Minnesota as number one again, but I feel like Minnesota didn't dominate the Jets how I thought they would, especially on offense. They got out to a great start in the first quarter, and then something happened with Sam Darnold where he was just not doing it. So I was like, all right, well, if your QB is not doing it against the Jets, you drop down a little bit. So I got Kansas City, Minnesota, Houston, my top three teams. Then I have Detroit, Washington moved up from last week. Dallas entered the frame. I didn't have them last week, so now they're in there. Baltimore moved up. Seattle moved down. Atlanta.
Finally.
They only had to win some games to get in there. And then who do I have left? I have Pittsburgh as my last team. Only because I feel like they can ride the ship with the Raiders. That's why I picked them to win. But if they drop that game to 3-3, there's going to be some serious issues.
What's the issue?
You can't lose to the Raiders.
Listen,
you can't lose to the Raiders.
Do you recall? Well, you probably don't, but I can tell you. I had them being 5-3 at the bye. You know, they have eight games. I had them winning five and having three losses. So they're on pace for that. There's going to be. I knew there was going to be a surprise loss. Oh, I think I even called the Colts before the season and definitely during the season that they're going to lose that game.
I'm looking at the prediction. You had them winning against the Raiders.
Yeah.
And you have them winning against, you picked it right. The Chargers, they won. But then you have them winning three in a row. The Jets and Giants.
I think they're going to win the Jets and Giants. That'll be their fourth and fifth wins. But I think they'll lose to Vegas. So they'll be 5-3.
Yeah, I had them at 5-3 at the break too, but I had them losing to the Jets and now they're probably going to win against the Jets. So they can still be 6-2.
They can.
So
depends on what happens this week. But I think the injuries is a big part of it too. To be down three outside linebackers going into this game, not have your I didn't talk about this, but they don't have their second and third string running back. Patterson is out again this week. Those are big key losses.
I mean, everyone has injuries right nowadays.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
So I'm not gonna, you should prepare for this.
Yeah.
Every time if you're the GM or the you work in the front office, you should be ready for like next man up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna dock him points for that. Before we end this episode, let's talk about the 25% season gone by. Who do you think is the MVP leader right now?
Listen, this is a tough one here because honestly, no one has really grabbed it from the reins just yet. Burrow's probably playing the best, I think, out of all the quarterbacks, to be quite honestly with you. And next would be like Baker Mayfield and then maybe Jalen Daniels. But, you know, Burrow's team's 1-4, right? So it's tough. I would say right now, I would give it to just leading. I would probably say you might not agree with it, but I would say Kirk Cousins would be my vote for MVP if the season were to end right now.
Let me just give you.
And I'm giving you. I'm not looking just at the record. The record's okay. I'm talking about like style points and everything, like just how he's led that team, especially with some comeback wins and stuff, primetime games. I would say Cousins is leading it.
Right now, I'm looking at the Vegas odds for MVP right now. They have the top three right now is Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and CJ Stroud.
Mahomes has been terrible.
But he's winning. That's when you talk about the MVP, all they look at are the record.
Six interceptions already. I think he's leading the NFL in interceptions. I know that's just one stat, but you know.
Is your team winning? Do you have home field advantage? That's really all they care about. They don't, you know, yes, style points matter, but I really like what Lamar is doing. He's coming on his own. He's passing. He's running. I would give it to Lamar right now. They have Sam Darnold plus 1,300. They have Jalen Daniels plus 1,000.
Yeah.
Wow. Some value there. But yeah, I would have to go with Lamar Jackson right now if I had to choose who's my MVP with 25% of the season gone. Ron, who's your offensive rookie of the year?
It's Jalen Daniels. I don't think it's close. I do think Caleb Williams will continue to develop and play better, and he'll close the gap a little bit. But I think Daniels has gotten out to such a huge lead, unless he's like injured or something, you know, that's going to be his award.
Yeah, I am in agreement with you. I think, and I'm leading that wagon of Jaden Daniels. Although, if I look at the odds right now, they do have Malik Nabers, and for some reason, Bo Nix is. It's like, why? He's a long shot. He's like plus 2,000, but I'm like, listen, I think we know Bo Nix. He's not ready. Maybe during the season he'll figure it out and like actually score a touchdown, but he's not ready. Who is your? I know we talk about Robert Saleh getting fired, but who else do you think is in the hot seat? Coaches.
Listen, it's hard to predict or assume any coach is going to be fired mid-season. But if I was to look at a team that's been a disappointment, it's the Jags and Doug Peterson. And if they lose again this week, I would think his seat is like really, really hot at this point.
I agree. I think Doug Peterson is up there. But I also think Nick Sirianni, man.
I agree.
I mean, I know they're 2-2 right now and they're just coming off a bye week, but not only the win or losses, but just the performance is not there. And, you know, he shifted blame on the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator. They got new ones. Still the same mistakes happen. Still not getting a lot of points. I know AJ Brown missed a couple games, but you got other weapons. What's going on? You got a good tight end. You got a great running back. What is going on? So I don't know if they do the coach change midseason, but another, not even loss, just performance. I think he's going to get the hook. I think he's in the hot seat. Do you think, looking at all these teams and coaches that are in the hot seat, is there anyone else that kind of, you are you in on Antonio Pierce?
That one, I think he makes it the full season, regardless of what happens. But they're going to evaluate him at the end of the season and make a decision. You know, the whole way that this Adams stuff went down and him like chiming in on social media and stuff, that's like, to me, not very professional. So, and then now with the whole quarterback situation, you don't know who you're rolling out there. You're going back and forth with two guys. You know that, and you should have known that too, right? Just thinking about the draft and where you were at and stuff. You know, I think it's gonna be a tough year for them, but I think he'll stick around, you know, regardless through the season.
Let's talk about the biggest surprise for you. Who is your biggest surprise, Ron?
Minnesota. 5-0 right now, playing really well with Sam Darnold, you know, leading the way. Keep in mind, he was not their number one quarterback to start the season. They weren't expecting him to be. So that's a huge surprise. He's come in and led that team, right, as their starter. Jefferson's having a great season. Their defense is playing fairly, really good. Not fairly good, really good. Under Flores, so they have surprised me getting off to this hot start. Are they the last undefeated team? No, Kansas City's up there too, right? Undefeated.
Yeah. I think my biggest surprise is Kansas City, because not because they're doing so well, but the fact that they're winning games, and they're winning games, like, I watch them and they're like, right now, looking at they're plus 33 points. Their defense is good, but their offense is not great. So it's like, how are they winning these games?
But it's Mahomes, so that shouldn't really surprise anyone. It's the guy is on his way to being the GOAT, right? To me, that shouldn't... It's not a surprise to me at all that they're sitting here undefeated. Yeah, if you look at the game and watch how they've won... Look at their roster and the lack of talent in some cases, yeah. But it's still Mahomes to me.
Yeah, because if I look at the over-unders for them when we did it, I don't think they had a easy schedule. Let me just check really quick where they there were 12 strength of schedule. So they were right in the middle, but they're 5-0. To me, I'm like, what's going on right now? This is not a 5-0 team when I look at it. But as you said, they have Mahomes, so they're just going to keep on winning. This is how they do it. You know, I was going to say the Washington Commanders, but we don't know if that's going to last, right? We know they have a terrible defense, so we don't... Right now,
it's a surprise to this point, though, for sure. It's up there as a surprise because no one would have expected them to be 4-1.
It's a surprise, but I mean, they've given up 115 points. So it's not like their defense is, you know, a lockdown machine. I don't know. It's just, it's not a surprise, but I know that bubble is eventually going to burst. Who is your biggest disappointment?
Number of ways I can go here, but to me, it's still got to be Jacksonville. So I mentioned Peterson being on the hot seat. 1-4 to start. You go 1-5. To me, that's a huge disappointment. You know, because they were expected to be able to compete with Houston, who's 4-1, and it's not a competition at this point. you know, Houston's going to run away with that division. I think Jacksonville is fighting not to be the last place team, to be honest with you.
I think my biggest disappointment is the Cleveland Browns, because everyone was touting that they have a great defense. I know Nick Chubb was hurt, so he wasn't going to come back to the middle of the season. But the way that Watson has been playing, I don't know if people were surprised or people were like, well, he hasn't been good in 4 years. What do you expect? And the fact that they haven't made a change yet.
Yeah.
Because think about it. If they change quarterbacks, they could be 3-2. They could be 2-3. Whatever. Not this terrible record of 1-4. Because if you look at the Browns and the Bengals, the Browns have the better defense. And the Browns have, you know, if you include Nick Chubb, the better running back. So what is going on?
Yeah, it's all comes down to the quarterback position. We had talked before we started recording about the Bengals and them being at 1-4. You would think that's a disappointment. They tend to start off slow, and their offense is playing great. So it's not like Burrow is the issue. The issue in Cleveland is Deshaun Watson. With all that money they gave him, he's playing like garbage. That's a huge issue when your quarterback's the issue. And I don't know who the backup. It's Winston, right? Jameis Winston. Yeah, like I said, if they continue down this path, I think Winston will be starting at some point. The pressure is there and building already. The national media, like I said, is already calling for Deshaun Watson to be benched. I'm sure Browns fans are calling for Watson to be benched. I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's only 25% of the season gone, but wow, Cleveland Browns, I just like, because they're stuck, right? They can't release them. Well, they can, but then they have to pay him all that money, right?
So I don't know if you saw, you probably should have included this in the news, but apparently he settled that lawsuit.
So now he's going to be like, there's no way I'm giving up that money.
Yeah.
And I know he had his contract restructured to like kind of defer some of the money, but they still owe them.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether you pay them now or you pay them later, then you're still going to owe them.
Yeah.
That was a really, really bad. So let me get this. So in Jacksonville is a coach, in the Browns situation is not the coach.
Yeah. I think
the quarterback.
Yeah. I think the coach is a good coach. Did he work coach of the year at one point?
Two times.
Yeah. So it's not him. It's the quarterback play for sure. And don't get me wrong, in Jacksonville, Lawrence has been up and down a little bit. But there's something else going on in that team. It's not just all about the quarterback. There's just some lingering dysfunction going on with Jacksonville that needs to be monitored for sure.
Yeah, this is sad. It's not sad because we're not fans. But if you're a fan, a Cleveland Brown fan, you have to just be kicking yourself and be like, what's going on with this team?
Yeah.
Ron, what do you want to tell the Steelers fan that's out there?
Listen, last week was tough. I try to warn everybody.
Wait. You didn't warn people.
Yeah, I had them winning. Yeah,
okay. It's not a warn.
But I warned them, like, anything, you know, can happen. They needed to get out to a good start. That didn't happen. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, man, this is going to be tough. It didn't help with the rain delay and stuff. I think that was a big part of it. Obviously, the injuries, too. I expect a tough game again this week. I think, you know, listen, we're trying to figure out, most Steelers fans, how good is this team really, right? Are they a good team or are they not? I think they're a pretty decent team when healthy, but like every other team in the NFL, there's always attrition throughout the season. You got to like be able to manage it. And we haven't really been able to do so. I think, you know, once the players, some of the guys come back in a couple weeks, Cam Sutton too, you know, he's under suspension right now, but once we get him playing, that's going to be a huge help in the secondary. You got to play the long game, and listen, you know, every game, you know, you hope to win, but you're not going to win them all. So We'll see what happens this week.
We'll see what happens this week. We'll see what happens with Drake May. And I'm not a religious person at all, but if there's a God out there, just keep him safe. Keep him safe.
If he throws for 300 something yards, what are you saying then?
Against Houston, it will take a miracle. Again, I'm not a religious person. I don't know if New England has miracles in them. We're talking about a team that had Trump on the sidelines at one point. So I don't know if Gerard Mayo saw something or if he got pressured from the owners. Be like, hey, we drafted this kid. You need to put him out there. I don't know. They may dumb down the offense. I don't know what kind of offense they're going to run with him, but please just get rid of the ball, throw it away. I don't know. Just don't be injured, because then if you're injured, that would mean that Brissett is back on. And that would mean that you have to look for another QB. That means
Milton. Yeah.
Well, Milton was left out the roster last week, so I don't know if he's even ready. So this is part of the rebuild. And if for some reason he does throw 300 yards and for some reason they upset Houston,
New England's going to go crazy.
Oh my goodness. Ticket sales are going to go up, because now people are going to be like, oh, I want to be there. But listen,
what time is your game? 1 o'clock?
It's a 1 o'clock game, I think. So, my brother's going to be there with a bunch of guys. So he's going to tell me how things go, how the crowd was vibing or was they feeling it. Anything is better than Brissett, right? Because this dude is took the hits, but now it's a rookie taking the hits. So that's the only thing that concerns me, is don't take the hits. Just get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
So next week, we're going to have episode 103, I think. Let me just double check. Yes, episode 103. Milton is coming. Ron, are you all set? You got all your goods. You got water. You got food. Got battery.
I am all set. I prepared early. I tend to do that anyway. Cars are both gassed up. Got everything we need. Most of the stuff is inside. Just got some last minute things to do tomorrow morning. We're in Central Florida, so we're not going to see the worst of it, but it can be bad. It has been bad in Central Florida with hurricanes before, so I'm just praying, honestly, don't lose power. It's almost like a guarantee.
It's a guarantee.
Yeah, but
it's a guarantee.
If it does go down, come back up quickly, because you don't want to be at home without power, and especially if you have kids, they'll drive you crazy, so.
Listen, today I lost the internet for 4 hours. They drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, go to your iPads. Oh, it's not connected. Yeah. Oh, there's no TV. Oh, let's do arts and craft. Oh, I'm bored. I'm like, oh, geez, this is going to be a long day. Thank God the internet came back. So with that said, week 7 coming up. Stay safe, Florida.
Yes.
With all that said, I say peace.
Peace. All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.